You're listening to the Carl Network.
Carl, we're going to Vegas in just a couple weeks.
I am very much looking forward to that.
Are you? You don't sound excited.
I'm very excited about it, Vinny. Vegas is one of my favorite places in the entire world. I've been there about a dozen times in my life. I haven't been there in a little while. Last time I went there, actually, was to see Shuli perform at the MGM. And so that was a few years ago. Before Shuli had the Uncle Rico show. That's how long ago that was.
So you've been a Shuli cuck for a long time, huh?
Friends. Yeah, we're friends. Prefer friends to cuck.
I'm sure you do, Hamburger.
I did Uncle Rico last night.
I heard you announced DabbleCon too.
Yeah.
But let's not talk about that right now.
Let's not do that right
now. Let's talk about the Creepoff live at Hackamania.
Focus.
Where a live consequence will happen for you, the viewers, that we will not be able to back out of.
I'm excited.
You shouldn't be. You should be really nervous.
Well, so what do we have to do? Like hit on 17 or stay on a 16 versus an 8? Like, what are we talking about? What kind of consequence?
I'll tell you what. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but if you want to be there to find out, get your tickets at hackamania.com. Use promo code CREEP, and you will save 20% on your tickets.
Love it.
All right, let's start the show.
Warning. Listening to the Creep-Off might leave you triggered. This episode may contain murder, rape, laughing at murder and rape, ableism, Lenny Dykstra, serial keeters, smile-talking, fat-shaming, child abuse, drug abuse, pizza abuse, victim-blaming, and the state of Florida.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
Hola, creepos. Welcome to another adventure. Another amazing episode of the Creep-Off, your favorite true crime podcast, the show about creeps, by creeps, for you creeps. I'm your host. My name is Vinny. And joining me, ladies and gentlemen, Hamburger. It's Carl.
What is happening, Vinny Paulino? Good to see you on another amazing Super Chat Monday, my favorite holiday of the year.
It's amazing. We get to celebrate every week.
Yes.
That's amazing. And you know what? They already started. Look at that.
Look at that. Joe Dicker knows what day it is. Happy Super Chat Monday, you creeps. Hashtag bring back Jess.
Oh, it turns out we can't.
What's going on with Jess?
Oh, she was stealing money. She's in federal prison now. She listened to us.
Oh, damn it. I told her to get away with it. You can't get caught.
Well.
Is she still working that job as a bank teller?
I assume, yeah.
I don't know. The Dutch.
We got to find out what's going on with
Jess.
Yeah,
we should catch up with Jess.
Maybe we could invite her on a Friday during her coffee
break.
There
you go.
Two-Face Line Bastard, thanks to the $1.99. It's Super Chat Monday. Did I miss it? No, sir. You're in the right place.
Yes, you actually are just in time for Super Chat Monday. We appreciate that. Of course, aside from celebrating Super Chat Monday, what we do on this program is a contest.
That is correct.
Each and every week on Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern on both the Creep-Off channel and the Who Are These Podcast channel, Vinny and I compete to find the creepiest person in different categories. Last week was no exception. And then you, the listeners, go and vote at thecreepoff.com. And we bring in our results girl to share with us who won the previous week.
Right. And we haven't had an official results girl until today.
It's amazing. We had 2 weeks of voting. We had five contestants, and you voted, I voted, we all voted, and the winner is, I think I have a drum roll on here somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
Do it.
I don't think I know.
How about this? We just give her this. It's Danny!
Danny!
Yay!
Okay.
I'm so happy.
You are happy. I'm glad to see that because most people would feel burdened knowing that they have to talk to Carl and I more often.
It's
but
not
you
a treat.
Seem to be thrilled about it.
Yeah,
so.
Right. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Your funeral.
Thank you.
Now, Danny, I want to bring something up. The first time that you came on and read the results, I thought you did a fantastic job. I was very impressed with the way that you said my name because I was the winner. Are you going to bum me out this week? Are we going to get off on a bad start here to your new reign as our results girl?
Well, am I supposed to do it now?
I don't know. This is all improvised. There's no script to this, Danny.
Give it a shot if you'd like.
Yeah. What was the voting tally from last week?
All right. The voting tally was 2-2. Carl Vitt and both of you guys had 2-2.
That's the score.
So.
Yep. The score was 2-2. Yep. We're tied right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So for this week or last week's was the creepiest Canadian. Mm-hmm. And with 68% of the vote, the winner is Mr. Vinny Paulino this week.
Please.
Hell yeah.
Unbelievable. Danny.
3-2.
I thought she was better than this. Now I feel like we've made a bad decision.
Well,
she was so good the first time.
Carl, don't judge her by this. Don't judge her.
You're
by
right.
This. Judge yourself.
I should
your
be
poor
focusing inward.
Creeps.
You're right because I thought I brought a fantastic creep, a guy who chopped a guy's head off on a bus and then went free.
Yeah,
thought that was a fun creep. But
I found an amateur surgeon who made people live in the woods and run for their lives in fear every day.
Yours was a pretty good creep. I'll give it to you.
Oh, dude, he might be good. Creep of. I mean, he's up there.
He's up there. He's up there. Yeah. I'll give you that.
I'm not going to make fun of him anymore. After all, he was God, apparently.
Fair enough.
So, Danny, congratulations. You are the victor. We're so happy. You could follow Danny on Instagram at Danny Desolation, and we will be seeing much more of you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Danny.
Congratulations again.
Congrats.
So, I should also add, I have some exciting news. Because Danny won first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have other winners here.
We do have other winners. Meg, redheaded Meg, came in second place.
Nice.
She nailed it.
She's
came
great.
In second, did very, very well. So her and I have talked, and you and I are talking, about another segment that we're going to use Meg for that should be pretty interesting, and I think you folks will really like.
Yes.
Now.
More to come on that.
Also, our third place was Mahalia.
Mahalia!
I fucking love Mahalia. And so I invited her to join us at the Creep Off Live in Las Vegas. She will be delivering the results of who will be doing the live consequence.
Excellent.
So there's that pressure for her. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, to Malka and the other Megan, we're very, very sorry for now. But if we could ever find a way to collaborate in the future.
Yeah.
Hey, stay in touch.
Definitely.
Love you both. You're both great.
For sure.
We thank you all for your participation. Now, we have a contest to get to, Carl.
We sure do, Vinny. What's the category this week?
Creepiest gang.
And what do you mean by that? Three or more people who work together to do something creepy?
Sure.
Is that how you defined it?
Is an organized... Like, they have to be organized.
Okay.
And at least over... it has to be a group of at least three people. Because if it was just, like, two people...
Yeah, that's
we
a
would
duo.
Call it, that'd be a tag team.
Yes.
And I think we should do that category sometime, too.
That's fun.
Creepiest tag team.
That's a good idea.
But this one, just creepiest gang.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people think gang in connotation of street gangs and things like that.
Sure.
But gangs have been a thing for forever. There's robbing gangs, there's... rape gangs of rapers.
Well, if you rapists. Think about it, the pirates. You think about the pirates out at sea were some early gangs that would go around raping and pillaging.
Absolutely. So it's a broad definition.
It is.
And since I won, it means that I get to go first. So you want to ring that bell?
All right, Vinny, what'd you bring for us? Oh, and let me just say this up front, because Vinny and I will text a few days before the show, figure out what the category is going to be. And I always know when Vinny's up to some shenanigans, when I get a text that says, hey, what do you think about doing like a gang thing for the creep off, three or more people? I said, yeah, that sounds good. And then he immediately goes, okay, I have this person or this group. I'm like, oh, okay. He already figured out.
We talked about something else first.
He already figured out what he wanted to do. All right. Let's hear it though, Vinny. Sounds like you picked out a winner for us.
I hope so. I've discovered these guys about a week and a half ago, and I'm really happy you went for it. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Creepiest gang of all time is one you've probably never heard of, mainly because of how many murders happened in this city at that time. My creeps this week are the Chicago Rippers, Carl.
The Chicago Rippers, they play, they're not in the NBA, right?
It's no, they're the league like below. MLS. They're Major League Soccer.
Oh, okay.
Or also known as the Ripper Crew. They were an organized crime group of Satanist serial killer, cannibal, rapists, and necrophiles, Carl.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's all the things, isn't it?
This group's really fucked up.
Yeah.
They were led by one guy named Robin Gecht. He was the leader. He's going to be the general focus of my presentation today. Now, his three associates of his gang were Edward Spritzer and then brothers Andrew and Thomas Cocorellis. Now, they were his employees. He ran a construction and contracting company. He is a complete asshole. This guy, the detectives, after he was arrested, this is the quote they gave the papers. This guy makes Charles Manson look like a Boy Scout.
Okay.
Fun fact, he was, for a time, a happily married man with three children.
Wow. How do you know he's happily married?
Well, I don't think he was.
Okay,
to the
there
average
you go.
Appearance, he was, because things got a little crazy.
Yeah.
There was one big red flag in hindsight. This whole thing happened in the very early 80s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His boss that he worked for before he started his own company was PDM Contractors in Chicago. His boss was John Wayne Gacy.
No shit.
Yes.
Small world, huh?
Small world. In fact...
So he worked for a clown, you're telling me. My boss is a
real
fucking clown.
Absolutely. So let me tell you who the members of the gang were real quick. The Cocorellis brothers were dumb as fuck, completely stupid teenagers that lived in his neighborhood.
So they're the Dennis Rodman of this team.
No, they're like the dumb goons.
So they're the Dennis Rodman of this team.
Yeah, but there's two of them.
So they were the two Dennis Rodmans of this team.
Possibly.
Let's go along with the analogy. Let's keep this moving.
I'm trying to.
I'm trying to get some Chicago flavor.
I'll introduce you to him right here. Here we go. So Robin Gecht is the one far left.
Okay.
Then there's Andy. And then there's Tommy. And then on the end, there's Ed. Now, Ed was dating one of the Cocorellis brothers' sisters. And apparently, he was a violent asshole. And she left town because she was kind of scared of him.
Okay.
He was still friends with these two idiots. He gets fired from an auto parts store. He's like, hey, you know where I get some work? And they're like, hey, come meet our buddy Robin. He'll hire you.
Mm-hmm.
And away they went. He was their boss. And fun fact about them all, they were tiny. The tallest one was Robin, and he was 5'6" and like 125 pounds.
So stuttering John, but skinny.
Yeah,
got it.
This is four tiny little stuttering Johns.
Got it. Okay.
Now, imagine trying to fight that off if there's four of them. It's more challenging.
That's true. I mean, one bagel boss I would stand up to, but four bagel bosses, I'd be intimidated.
It definitely makes things a lot more complicated.
Now, sure.
Out of nowhere, Ed starts describing this. He had been working for Robin for about 5 months.
Okay.
He finds out that Robin had just started recently just torturing his wife.
Why? What did she burn the food? What
she
did
must
she do?
Have. She must have.
What did she do?
And
she talk back?
She must have, because he comes to the house to get a check, and he finds his wife, Rosemary, on the floor, bleeding with her nipples cut off, Carl.
Oh, okay. That's like some Trevor Bauer type shit. I get it.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah. Robin, like, finds out that Eddie took her to the hospital and was going to go to the police because he's like, I worked for this guy. I've been there 5 months, and my boss cut off his wife's nipples and just left her there to die.
Yeah.
And
do you die from having cut off nipples? I'm not sure about
no,
that.
No, she was fine.
Yeah.
Well, no, she mentally, she is a very
yeah, that'd probably be a bad
woman.
Day that you'd remember for a little while.
Oh, it's...
like yesterday, I went to the Rochester Americans playoff game here in Rochester.
Yeah, what happened?
They lost in overtime. It's going to stick with me, I think, for many years to come. So I get it.
Jinx.
I get it, having a bad day.
You jinx. So Robin finds out Eddie's going to the cops, gets to him before he could get to the cops, and says, listen, stupid, because Eddie's kind of dumb too.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, listen, I want you to know, if you go to the cops, I'm going to tell them you did it, and she's going to do whatever I tell her because I'm the boss. And he's like, okay, okay. And he still fucking stayed and worked for the guy.
Good. That's called a good employee. It's a loyal employee. It's what you need. Loyalty.
So things start getting crazy at his house. He starts inviting teenagers over, specifically teenage girls, because they're friends with, like, Andy and Tommy.
Nice.
Who are teenagers. He's having sex with these teenagers in front of his wife.
Okay.
And there's nothing Rosemary's going to do about it.
She's a cuck.
Because she's fucking terrified for her fucking life. He starts dating a teenage girl named Tina.
Could you imagine the fights they're having? I don't see you cutting Tina's nipples off. What does she have that I don't have?
Oh, he tries.
Oh, okay.
See, the one thing that I will tell you about Robin Gecht.
Mm-hmm. He's got game.
He is obsessed with boobs to a very scary
level.
Who
isn't?
A terrifyingly scary level.
Would Danny be his type?
He would love Danny.
Okay.
Danny, stay away from Chicago.
Yeah, watch out for this guy. He's a bad dude.
Protect those things. They're an asset to the show now.
Correct.
Thank you.
Get them insured.
Thank you. So he starts dating this girl, Tina. He's having sex with her in front of his wife. And she starts telling some really crazy stories, like, after this all happened. He converted his work van, Carl, into a rolling murder wagon. He got rid of all the carpets
and
shit.
Did he write that on the side? Did he get that painted like a logo?
Blood red. The thing's painted blood red. And he got rid of all the carpets and shit in there so it wouldn't soak up blood. He could wipe down everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had shackles, racks for knives and shit. He made a homemade axe out of a broom handle with broken glass just because it looked scary and menacing. And he used to take this teenage girl, Tina, around in it and have sex with her. And eventually she says the only way he could ever get hard is he would chase her around the van, pin her down, and prick her tits with needles.
Oh, wow. Did he try Pornhub?
Didn't exist in 1980.
Oh, God damn.
So she said she had to help Rosemary once after Robin stuck her tits full of hat pins and told her she was not allowed to take them out until he said.
That's gross.
Tina also said that Rosemary, this beat-up housewife with a titty full of needles, befriended Tina because she was so lonesome.
Yeah.
And she said that she confided in her that that past weekend, Robin made her go to her parents' house, bring their dog over to their house, and made her watch him fuck the dog.
I don't like that.
Nobody likes that.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure we were on the same side on this one.
Nobody likes that, Carl.
I'm good. I'm glad to hear that.
And what's so fucked up is she goes, that can't be true. And she goes, no, I still have his underwear, and showed her the underwear that was bloody and covered in dog hair.
That's awful.
I may have audio of that. Hold on. Hold on.
Stop it.
Sadie, no! Sadie! So he's got a rolling murder wagon. He's got a bunch of dumb teenagers that work for him. And that one guy who's like 21 who just does whatever the fuck he's told.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this insanely sick fetish. And by the way, he murdered that dog, Carl. It turns out that that dog got pregnant from like another dog, not
him. Okay, I was going to say, not from him, I wouldn't think.
Well, this is what he ended up doing. He went and kidnapped this fucking dog, took it to his basement, beat it to fucking death, cut out the puppies, put them in jars, and kept them in his attic as a decoration.
Jesus. That's crazy behavior.
Yeah, don't cheat on him.
Psychotic.
You don't say. So you're going, Vinny, this sounds like one guy is crazy. What did they do as a gang?
Yes, all right. Correct.
All right. Starting in around May of 1981, they were rolling around in his red murder wagon, all four of them together, and they would snatch lone women, then sexually assault and kill them. Now, the group's nickname was actually coined by the police.
So it was almost Bang Bros, but they took it a little bit too far.
This is the original Bang Bros, yes. That might be the name of this episode, the original,
the
Bang,
original
Bros.
Bang Bros.
So, first abduction, 28-year-old sex worker, single mother, Linda Sutton. They grab her near Wrigley Field, Carl.
Mm.
They took her behind an hourly motel, but instead of checking in, they dragged her to a shitty field behind the place.
See, that's not supposed to happen on the north side. That's a safe place.
Eddie held her down. Robin raped her, then hit her with his homemade axe a couple times, then used a garrote that he made out of piano wire to cut off her left tit.
Okay.
So what he did is he would wrap it around and then squeeze until the thing just went,
wow.
And then what he did was he would go back to his van and put the tit in the cooler that he kept between the seats.
He's keeping it fresh for later?
Well, it was what they would end up calling his trophy box.
Ah, I got it. Okay.
He ended up with about 15 of them in there. Now, Her body was found about a week later. Cops are going, well, this is Chicago. We find all sorts of fucked up shit like this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really care. This happened to about 20 women, Carl. They stopped raping in fields, and they started working together in tandem. This is what they would do. They would get the woman in the van. They'd offer her pills. Then the others would be hidden in the back of the van because they're fucking tiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she would just be sitting there, and they would wait for Robin to tap the window twice. And when he would do that, it was fucking over because these little fuckers would pop out, and it's swarm time, and they're grabbing you and clawing you and dragging you into the back of the van. And then they're raping, stabbing you to death. And then, you know, they all take turns fucking doing their thing. Then they cut off the titty, toss it in the cooler, and then the two retarded brothers would fuck the corpse.
Oh. So they kind of get the leftovers, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Then they'd throw the body in the field. By the way, this was still his work van. He would clean it after every murder.
I got to say, that brings a new definition to sloppy seconds right there. That's pretty rough.
Dude, he had a smelly cooler of stinky tits in his work van.
Yeah.
Now, not all of these cases were the women sex workers. One of the victims was a real estate agent abducted in broad daylight walking into her office.
Oh, no, not a real estate agent.
Who will ever sell the Murphy place?
Who's going to get 6% of the sale now?
Too bad. The body was hidden in a mausoleum at a cemetery. Now, this is also, according to Eddie, the first time that after they popped off a titty, because they always popped off the titty,
mm-hmm.
that Robin would start fucking the chest holes.
Oh, why not? That's a new definition of titty fucking.
We're
right
doing
there.
Some depraved shit. Why not?
I don't even know how that would work, though. I mean, there's a rib cage right there. I don't think that would really, there's not a lot of hole to get into there.
Dude, once one of the victims was a marketing executive on the north side. I think it's the Gold Coast area or something.
Not
like
a
that.
Marketing executive. Who's going to sell me shit I don't need?
So they found this woman who was apparently kind of wealthy with her missing tit and a literal 2x4 up her ass. Construction workers think they're funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So one of these hookers they left for dead. Before they did, though, they stuck a wine bottle inside of her beehole and then kicked her over. So it, you know. And then they just left her like that in what was described as a pool of blood. Sorry.
Disgusting, vomit-inducing thing.
So on October 6, 1982... an 18-year-old Northside woman named Angel York is picked up by Robin by himself without his accomplices.
Okay.
He gets her in the van, overpowers
then
her.
Then strike this one, voters. Do not. This has nothing to do with the case that Vinny is making.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm kidding.
That's fine.
I'm kidding. Keep going.
But this is really wild because what he does is he hogties her,
yep.
Right? Drives her somewhere, lets one hand free, and puts a knife in her hand, right?
Okay.
And then he looks at it, he pulls out a gun and puts it to her face and says, cut off your tit.
Oh, I would just say shoot me in the face, right?
And she tried. She gave it her best effort, I guess. And then she passed out. And he just left her for dead. He didn't, like, strangle her and kill her and all that shit like the other guys did when they were there.
Okay.
He left her. And
yeah, that's grunt work in his mind.
Right.
Right.
So he just leaves her there, Miss Titless. And she survives, tells the cops about this little greasy guy in a red van. This is the first evidence the cops have on him.
Okay.
The same night, dude, out of nowhere, they're driving around. Eddie's driving, and they shot two dudes, a guy named Rafael Torrado and his friend, who's 18, Alberto Rosario. According to Eddie, he's driving around with Robin for no reason. He tells him to slow down. Robin pulls out two guns from the back of the car, tells him to stop the car, then open fires on these guys, just murders them.
Just random strangers?
Yes. Drive by.
Cool.
It's a gang. Drive by.
Cool.
Now, this was when things start getting weirder and weirder. Because Robin's really fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And he
like
starts
it.
Telling everybody he has supernatural powers and they have to do what he tells them to do.
And they're like, we were doing what you told us to do anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And they're like, dude, we love chopping off titties.
Yeah,
all in this together. Remember we'd put our hands in the middle and go, break.
Yeah, right? Remember we became blood brothers? We're good.
3, 2, 1, titties. Oh, wait, it's titties on 3. So Guess what he was saving all of these titties in the cooler for, Carl?
What was he saving all
what
these titties
for? What was this gang's hard work for? They were all in it together. Turns out it would be very weird ritualistic things in his attic. So, according to police reports, not all the victims were murdered in the van. Some of them he would bring to his house, tied up and brought up to the attic where he built himself an altar. And he would stand over the victims and his three followers and would read passages from the Satanic Bible and the Christian Bible while they would rape and torture the victim. After they were done murdering and mutilating the body, each of the crew members would masturbate into the severed breast. Then Gecht would cut up the breast into small pieces and hand one to each member of the crew. And then they would eat it like some kind of vile, vile communion.
Like, it's like a game of wet biscuit, but it's wet titty.
Yeah, this is the ookiest of cookies, baby.
That's gross.
I don't like that at all. So they're eating it raw with their jizz all over it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where if I'm one of these guys, I'm like, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going to go get a job at a pizza place or something.
One of them worked in a donut shop part-time. I think it was Ed, but whatever. He was still doing this on the side. So after this all is said and done, they asked these guys why they did it.
Yeah.
And Ed and Tommy both said, Robin had powers. Mm. He'd look into your eyes. This is what Tommy said. And by the way, remember, 77 IQ on Tommy.
Okay.
He looks into your eyes and tell you to do it. You have to do it. And then he told the cops, you have to be careful. Promise me you won't look into his eyes.
Okay.
He'll get you too. Like, he was saying shit like this. Now, yeah. Andy and Eddie confessed that they did eat the titties. They said they ate the titties. It's not just the dumb guy making up shit. But they also recanted that after people were like, you ate the titties? They're like, nah, I didn't eat the titties.
No one's eating titties. Come on. Yeah. We just talk about it.
Who the fuck knows? They were chopping them off. I know that for a fact.
Okay.
So they did this a few more times, and then they fucked up. A month later, they tried to grab a woman named Beverly Washington, found her by a railroad track, chopped off the titty. This woman, they left her for dead. She survived. And not only did she survive, she was able to give descriptions of her attackers and the van and the plate number that abducted her. The cops found them within 24 hours.
Nice.
This is after they did this 20 some odd times.
Yeah, wow.
So, like I said, three of them confessed, right? Andy and Eddie both got sentenced to death. Andy was executed. But then Eddie got fucking lucky because the state eliminated the death penalty, so they commuted him to life. Robin, still to this fucking day, he's alive, claims he is completely innocent. He didn't do anything. It was all a frame job, and it was those guys who did it.
Oh, it's very possible.
He was convicted of attempted murder, aggravated kidnapping, deviant sexual actions, the rape for the non-fatal rape and assault of Beverly Washington. He was sentenced to 120 years in prison. Now, Tommy, the simpleton, right? They let him out in 2019.
Oh, that's nice.
So now he's living on some kind of Christian farm.
Cool.
So far, so good. But I'm sure one day they're just going to walk out and there's going to be a cow missing a fucking udder.
No, I think he's very suggestible. I bet that he's believing everything the Christians are telling him now.
Yeah, it could be true.
I think that this Robin guy just knew how to pick him.
Am I going to heaven? Sure,
no,
Thomas.
Definitely not. No. Most definitely not.
Yeah. So my creepiest gay has got to go to the Chicago Rippers. Folks, go to thecreepoff.com and vote for Vinny if you love titties.
Well, you don't go voting yet. You got to hear my presentation first. And before I do that,
if you like titties, you vote for Vinny.
Okay. Before we do that, just a couple quick super chats came in celebrating our Super Chat Monday with us. We do appreciate that. So the Mechanical Ape is here with $5. Vinny effing Winnie. Yes, Vinny did win last week. Weej coming in with $5. Says another rigged election involving pizza boxes. Mamma mia.
No, I came by those boxes honest.
And then Gartner fan $2. I saw Vinny's gang in Stallone's hit film Cobra.
I've never watched Cobra.
Adam Carolla used to talk about that movie all the time. Apparently, it's not very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go Shocker. Figure. Joe Dicker, remember for 9 months, says, when Vinny gets into his and then run, he keeps hoping he says one time at band camp. I keep hoping he says one time at band camp. I know. And then this one time I took the flu and I shoved it in my butt. And then
they left her for dead.
And then they raped her again.
And then they
came out. Allison Hannigan, yay or nay, Vinny?
Yay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yay.
Big fan.
I had to remember her face.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. You ready for my presentation, sir? What if I told you this gang that I'm going to be presenting to you includes notable members such as Clint Eastwood, Henry Kissinger, Walter Cronkite, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Charles Schwab, George W. Bush, and Mark Twain?
I would say that I am intrigued and I want to hear more.
Well, let's talk about the Bohemian Club, an elite invitation-only social club formed in San Francisco in 1872 by a group of male artists, writers, actors, lawyers, and journalists, all of means and interested in arts and culture. Since its founding, the club has expanded to include politicians and affluent businessmen. The club is known especially for its annual summer retreat at what is known as Bohemian Grove in the Redwood Forest of California, Sonoma County.
Not only did you bring in the fucking Bohemian Club that it's going to be fucking impossible to beat, you fucking are going to get me murdered by the CIA, aren't you?
Correct, yes. Because, Vinny, if you don't know about this, and I'm going to be talking about a very specific event that makes them creeps. And this is a pretty fascinating story, but...
Is it the yearly ex-president orgy?
It is not the orgy. This is the sacrifice. And actually, you know what? Why don't I have my friend Alex Jones break it down for us? If you go to my clip number 4, he does a good job in his 2000 documentary about the Bohemian Grove of breaking this down for us.
All right, hold on a second. And that's... Okay, your clip number 4?
Yeah, start with 4. We're going to jump around a little bit.
Sure, no problem, pal. I didn't realize that's what we were doing today. Here we go.
You see, for over 120-plus years in Northern California, in Sonoma County, on a 2,700-acre secluded redwood grove, leaders from around the world, prime ministers, chancellors, presidents, governors, again, the heads of industry, banking, academia, the media, Hollywood, only a select few, a little over 2,000 people, travel there to engage in bizarre, ancient, Canaanite, Luciferian, Babylon, mystery religion ceremonies.
But were they eating titties? Were they coming on and eating titties? That's what I need to know.
Oh, it's much worse than that. These people are planning the future of the world.
They burned a wooden owl.
They are making decisions. Well, it's not just a wooden owl. This is the Moloch. A 40-foot tall concrete Moloch. It's a statue of an owl that has very special meaning. So every year in the summertime for 2 weeks, they get together to perform rituals, to do drugs, to get drunk, to make decisions about who's going to be our next president and figure out what wars we're going to get into. But there's this guy, Tyler Oliveira. Do you know who that is?
No, they don't invite me anymore.
He's a YouTuber who's gone to Epstein Island, and he said, you know what, I'm going to get to this Bohemian Grove place. I want to get some footage of this Moloch, this statue.
Okay.
And so he traveled to the town. He wasn't successful at getting all the way in. He got a little of the ways in, but there's a lot of security there.
Okay.
But I just thought it was fun talking to some of the townspeople. Now, most of the townspeople will not talk about this on camera. They are scared shitless of saying anything they know. So most of the conversations go like this. Hey, you know anything about Bohemian Grove, Bohemian Club? They go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you have a camera? Nope, I don't know anything about that at all. But there's a few people who give us some fun details. My clip number 1 is a woman who's been living there a long time.
Oh, God, I already love the title of this clip. Oh, I hate you so much.
Anything about the Bohemian Grove?
Too much.
Too much? What do you know?
I have actually folded laundry for the Bohemian Grove before when I needed to. So all of their laundry is processed through the laundromat.
Oh, interesting.
That is around the corner. So I've folded George Bush's sheets, for heaven's sakes. You will start to see a lot of helicopters flying in directly to the property. Bill Clinton's been there. George Bush has been there. It has been rumored that the next president is always decided there before it occurs, but that is a rumor. I've literally had Grovers. Some dude forgot his credit card and handed me his Grove card as collateral. And I'm
whoa,
like,
Grove ID.
And before the Grove happens, you watch a bunch of limos with high-end hookers come in. They're not allowed to bring women back to the facility, but the boys will stay off campus there. The other things that happen is they hit up all of the locals and where they can get drugs every effing year.
So all these elites come in. The New World Order all comes into this one place. No one else is allowed in there.
And see, this is how I know it's bullshit. Because you're telling me that members of the New World Order are going to this fucking dumpy broad in her fucking mandala fucking tapestry on the wall going, hey, you know where I get some drugs? You don't think they got a fucking suitcase full of them?
Please. Vinny, believe please. You me. Because what happens is the New World Order has lackeys. This is the thing about the elites. They don't do shit. So they send out their lackeys to get their sheets folded and get drugs and hookers for them.
And by the way, the fucking sheets that got to come out of this place have got to be fucking drippy for fucking old man leaky prostates.
Yes, because this is for men only. This is mostly old rich white men that go to this event for the last 130 years. And so we talked to some of the townspeople. My clip number three is more about these high-end hookers that they like to bring into this thing.
Now you have my attention.
They wear, like, all-white garb?
Yeah, but not always.
That's a little bit spooky.
I know there's a bunch of hookers that can stay over here while they're here.
Are they hot?
Yeah, but they charge way too much.
What, you messed their price?
You know.
I'm be honest with me.
I'm taking a damn worth the bullshit to begin with. Nah, so,
that guy's awesome. $50 for a hand job. I don't think so.
Are you fucking kidding me with that shit?
I love that guy. You are $50 for a hand job.
He's like, yeah, there's all these hookers over there that are here during the festival, the festivities. And he's like, are they high? He's like, yeah, they're fucking smoke shows. And I can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Dude, you cannot. I'm not falling for this. This guy's like, they charge too much. So he's not like, listen, if they're bringing in like supermodel, super high-end, expensive, gorgeous hookers.
Yeah.
And he's going, they're charging too much. He's an idiot. But he's looking at him going, I'm not paying for that.
This is not the story. All right. This is just a little bit of fun. Let's get to the story. My clip number two, because the reason why Tyler wants to get in there is because it's only been filmed one time in history.
Cool, Tyler.
This is the only real footage captured inside the event by Alex Jones in the year 2000. Some believe a real human was being burned alive during the ceremony.
Yeah, so let's talk about this ceremony.
Some believe. Does Alex Jones believe it?
Let's talk about the ceremony that Alex Jones was able to infiltrate in 2000, the only person to ever do this, and get us the information of what is really going on. So you see that depicted right there, that giant statue of Moloch. Let's find out more about Moloch in my clip number five.
I know who Moloch is, Babylonian god.
And then I began to read some of the documentation on this Moloch character of the Old Testament, mentioned many times in Leviticus. That's in the Bible. Why are world leaders traveling to the middle of nowhere to worship this thing?
So Moloch is a deity whose worship was marked by the sacrifice of burning children offered by their own parents.
Sweet.
Yes. So this is human sacrifice we're talking
simpler
about.
Times.
Babies.
What's
yes.
cool about this is, you know, just think about this for a second. Back in the day, you're in Babylon.
Yep.
And all the elites are like looking for volunteers and you have an annoying kid.
Yeah.
Now you're getting like points with the upper class, maybe moving up a little bit, and you're getting rid of a fucking deadbeat annoying child.
It's a win-win. I agree with you there, Vinny. But in the year 2024, just we're still logical. Doing this? This seems kind of nuts that the people who rule our world are having these types of rituals still going on to this day. All of the Freemasons, all of the people who are parts of these secret societies are getting together, rubbing elbows.
They're rubbing wieners, Carl.
Rubbing wieners. Check this out. So Alex Jones was able to get one of the programs they hand out to the people who attend this event. And this is incredible. This is my clip number six. We're going to see this.
All right.
Now, even more shocking is the figure of a human body
burning in the flames. In fact, I've shown it to people that are experts in anatomy, to actual doctors, and they say that the anatomical size is that of a baby or small child. Notice how large the cranium is in comparison to the torso, that is the ribs. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is from the program itself given out to the establishment lackeys witnessing these sinister activities.
First off, how do I know that's the program cover? That could be the cover of Bat Out of Hell, for all I fucking know.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Zoomed in quite a bit. Now, they show, I'm not going to break down this whole hour-long documentary, but they
do show. Isn't that your job right now?
They do show. I'll tell you right now, I was watching this. I was doing my research today, and they definitely show this entire program, and you get to see a lot of interesting details. But I wanted to focus on this, because it's the baby sacrifice ritual that makes them creeps. Now, Brian Johnson was on the show, and he said, what is a creep? And Vinny comes in, he's like, well, this guy fucked a dog and then raped a woman and cut her tit off. It's like, well, that's horrendous.
Captain in a cooler than made his buddies eat him.
But is it creepy?
Yes.
I want to say that this is way creepier, because these are billionaires coming in, private jets, helicopters, coming in.
For what? Heavy metal weekend?
To watch this ritual. In fact, let's get an explanation of this, my clip number 7, then we'll see the actual ritual.
Okay.
Upon further research of the ritual you just witnessed, it becomes clear. It is a mixture of the Babylonian Canaanite cult of Moloch, fused with ancient druidic rites, where you have the female side of Satan, which they first call out to in the she, and then towards the horn god with the he, mixed with Masonic rites from Scotland.
So it's a little bit of everything. These are all these ancient rituals that they're bringing together, and the world's elites are enjoying this. Every single year they get together. Let's see some of the footage of what's actually going on. The only footage that exists of a Bohemian Grove sacrifice ritual.
So ceremony?
Yes. So you see the burning body right there in front of the temple.
These people are deadly serious, those taking part in the ceremony.
All right, it's no fish at the Sphere in Las Vegas, but it's pretty impressive. They got music piping in and fireworks as they're burning this baby. And I'm not saying they're burning an actual baby, Vinny. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. But what's fun that they do, because they want the ritual to seem like they're burning a baby, is that they pipe in screams when they light the fire. This is my last clip, number 9 on here.
Ship's eternal flame. Once again, Midsummer sets us free.
You hear those screams when they lit
yeah.
the fire?
So I'm going to go
these
as
are creeps.
Far.
These are creeps that want to get together and witness this every year. They're Satan worshiping creepos. In fact, when you
it
were listing,
like,
you know what? Let's go back to what you were listing for your gang of four there.
Uh-huh.
Remember all the things you used to describe them?
Yes.
Do you have it in your notes right there?
Sure. Serial killers, uh-huh. cannibals, rapists, and necrophiles.
Okay. Guess what? Guess who the people are who are part of the Bohemian Club? All of those things, but on a much grander scale.
What corpse are they fucking? They're fucking
much,
hookers and trying to do coke and fucking ecstasy.
Whose corpse are they fucking? Have you seen Joe Biden? Did you see his interview with Howard Stern?
I watched it with you. You know I did.
Yes. That's whose corpse they're fucking. Have you seen Hillary Clinton? What are you talking about? Whose corpse are they fucking? So I present to you Bohemian Club as the creepiest gang in the universe. Vote for Carl at thecreepoff.com. Thank you very much. The
easiest win of my life.
Oh, I doubt it.
Vote for Vinny at thecreepoff.com this week.
I doubt it.
Actually,
listen, we got to fight the New World Order. It starts here on the Creep Off.
Danny, who are you voting for?
Oh, really? Probably Bohemian Grove.
Yeah!
Get out of here, Danny.
Danny.
Boy, did that backfire on me.
It sure did.
Danny!
It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a hard one this week, I think.
You know what I just realized I need? I need a Judge Smiles from Candy Shack going, Danny?
Yes, let's get that.
We need that immediately.
The world needs ditch diggers too, Danny. Okay, so we have an amazing cop cam today, and we even have a jingle. We have a stinger for it now.
Now, our friend Steven Reynolds sent this in.
Yes, he's been doing some great job, work for us.
I got to tell you, I heard this and immediately fell in love. I was standing in the kitchen. I got the email from Carl. I opened it. My wife was standing there, and even she laughed, so I know this is a winner.
Nice.
I can't wait to see Carl's cop cam. Fight with the cops for no reason. Will you please show me Carl's cop cam? Lose all your rights, ruin your life.
You picked a great song right there.
Steven.
That's how you do it.
Fucking banger. Well done, sir.
He explained to me in the email, I was like, this is Hulk Hogan's music. I'm like, oh, I know. You don't have to explain that to me. I know exactly what that is, sir. All right, so Sandra Dourley is, well, currently the district attorney of Monroe County, where we live, where we are right now.
RDA?
RDA.
Made a cop cam video?
She is the top law enforcement official in the land. She is the boss of all the bosses. All right, Vinny? And she was coming home the other day and was driving a little quickly, driving fast, 55 and a 35. And a Webster police officer, a suburban police officer here.
Oh, yeah.
By her house.
I spent a lot of time in Webster.
Decided to pull her over for speeding. Started, turned on the lights and started chasing after her. She did not slow down. She did not stop. She drove all the way home and drove into the garage. And that's where we pick up this cop cam footage by clip number one.
Maybe she didn't see them.
No, she did.
And can I just say, I have not watched a second of this. All I have seen all week is the screenshot.
Oh, great.
So I'm so happy that we get to watch this now.
Yeah, we got a good breakdown today.
Great.
Sorry, I'm the DA. I was going 55 coming home from work.
55 and a 35.
I don't really care.
Okay.
So you can call this.
Can you come over here? No. This is on a traffic stop, ma'am.
Yes, it is. You can call Dennis Kohlmeyer right now.
Okay, I'm telling you why I stopped you. You didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or anything?
No, I didn't actually. I was on the phone.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am, with the hands-free, absolutely.
Okay. Why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Please tell him to leave me alone.
Now, wow.
I know Phillips fucking Road.
Yep.
I know Phillips Road very well.
Of course.
It is super easy to go 55 down Phillips Road.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to.
Let me tell you something. I've committed this infraction 100 times over.
Yeah, and you know what, Vinny? When you get pulled over, you pull over. Because you don't think you're above the law. This woman gets out of her car. She's indignant. She's like, what are you doing in my driveway? He's like, I've been following you since I caught you speeding, and you never pulled over.
So she
gets out of her phone and calls his boss's boss. And what she's going to do right now, Vinny, is hand the phone over to the police officer, because did you hear what she said at the end there? She's like, I can't deal with this. I'm not going to deal with this.
If she puts her assistant on the phone, I'm going to laugh really, really hard.
So check this out. She hands the phone over to the police officer. She'll be like, yep, here's your boss's boss. Next clip.
Uh-oh.
It's
Officer Christofoli. Can you stay over here, ma'am?
This is a
legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? This is ridiculous. Just go away.
Hello, sir.
Just go away. She's like, here, you talk to him. He'll take care of all of this. Go away. I'm done talking to you. I don't need to talk to you. She thinks she's so above this police officer. The way she's treating him with zero respect. She's way too good for this traffic stop.
I have two thoughts here. If I'm the cop, I throw her phone up in the air and I shoot at it.
That'd be amazing.
That's my first thought.
That'd be fun.
My second thought is,
pull!
We watched a video a couple weeks ago, and you can watch the clip on the Creep Off channel, of a gentleman who drove home very, very drunk and got to his driveway and thought that somehow that got him immunity.
Correct. You get to home base, now you're safe.
Now I'm watching our district attorney
yes,
pull into the garage thinking that she's home safe. And I have to wonder, maybe there is something to that law.
Maybe there is. I mean, the DA should know laws, right?
I'm would assume.
You would think.
She couldn't just be behaving like this for no reason, could she?
All right, so she's continuing to not go along with the officer's orders. My next clip here.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
She failed to stop. She drove all the way back home and parked in her garage. And now she's not complying with any of my commands. Ma'am, do not go inside.
Oh, my God.
Yep. All right. Ma'am, come outside. You can't just go inside. This is a traffic stop. Here's your phone back.
I understand the law better than you.
953, can you have a supervisor come to the scene?
No. Get out of my fucking house.
I don't know why you're acting like this towards me.
You don't?
Can you please go to the back of the vehicle?
I'm not going to. I'm home. I was 55.
I don't care if you got home. You were supposed to stop at Phillips Road when I pulled you over.
So you know what's happening right here? Every police officer knows who the DA is, except for this guy. This is the only guy who does not recognize her, does not know who she is, didn't run her plates. As he explains, he wasn't able to run her plates because she never stopped, so we had to keep an eye on her and follow her.
Yeah, this is the kind of guy who ends up on a jury. He doesn't know what's going on in the fucking world. Here you go.
So. But she cannot believe that he didn't immediately recognize her and go, oh, I'm sorry, Sandra, as you were, have a great day, good to see you. So that's why she can't believe that this is happening right now. She's like, I just called your boss's boss. What are you doing? Why are we still having this conversation? You got to get the fuck out of here. I'm above the law, is basically what's happening.
Now, if you're in this situation and you're her, you're louder, right? Like you're,
well,
get the fuck out of my garage.
Yeah.
Get.
The last thing I would do knowing that this is being recorded is act like this. Because honestly, I was listening to another show talking about this that was hosted by some police officers. And they're like, we are able to let things go all the time. If you just treat us respectfully and cordially, we'll oftentimes just go, all right, it's a warning. Have a great day. She would have easily gotten out of this. She's just like, I know, I was going a little fast. Bad day today at work. My bad.
I was thinking about this horrible murder case that I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor officer is what they deal with. And I was trying to get home because, frankly, I'm just exhausted from doing the people's work.
Well, that's what she says, but not with that attitude.
Oh.
Check out this next clip where she shows her badge.
Her what?
Her badge.
Oh, her badge. Okay.
It's you two.
I just don't understand the hostility towards me. I'm doing my job.
No, you're being an asshole.
How am I being an asshole?
I am the DA of Monroe County.
I understand that, but that doesn't give you a right to go 55 and a 35. And you even admitted to me that you went 50. I understand that, ma'am.
I
understand that.
So what she's doing right now, Vinny, and this is going to be a big problem for Monroe County.
What she's doing is the Kevin Meaney defense.
I don't care.
Not quite.
I don't care.
No, what
jokes don't go over. I don't care. Everybody.
No, what she's doing right now, which is really stupid of her. She's an idiot. She's exposing corruption. She's on camera going, you can't arrest me. I'm your boss's boss's boss. That, you know how this works. What are you, an idiot? Here's my badge. Get the fuck out of here. Which is not how the law is supposed to work, is it, Vinny?
Well, unless, from what I understand, she has complete immunity if she was doing her official job duties, like driving home from work.
Nope.
So,
nope. Not the case. Not the case at all. This is, let's check out the next clip. So,
okay.
You just heard her call this guy an asshole. This guy is being nothing but polite. He seems scared. And he's like, I pulled over the wrong person. What the fuck?
He's called for a supervisor. He's not getting You know how many people would already be in cuffs?
Oh, she should be in cuffs.
He walked into the kitchen and dragged her out by the hair.
Correct. He should have ran in after her and tackled her. She's lucky he didn't come up with a gun out.
Taser.
Yes, taser, because she drove into her garage. She's avoiding the police. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck's going
on. The fact that she went in the house, she could have come out with a gun. She could have come out with a knife. She could have come out with any type of weapon. He would have.
Yeah, honestly, this officer is not doing his job very well. He's being way too lenient with this raging see you next Tuesday. So my next clip here, number five, this person is an asshole.
Okay.
Give me a traffic ticket, that's fine. I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead.
And again, exposing corruption. Write me a ticket. I'm the one who prosecutes it. I will throw it out. Well, then why didn't you just fucking pull over? if it's so easy for you, like, why are you making a stink right now? If you're going to take it and just throw it out. But again, exposing corruption, not a good move on her part.
That's the most amazing part to me right now. Nothing shocks me more than hearing that.
Yeah.
Like, her attitude doesn't shock me as much as hearing I could prosecute it.
Yeah, write me a ticket. Guess who's going to pay it? Nobody. It's what she's saying. All right. So, yeah, this continues my next clip here.
Oh, I wonder if she's had a bad day.
Okay, you know what? That's fine. You know what I've been dealing with all day? 3 murders in the city. And do you think I really care if I was going 20 miles over the speed limit?
Okay, I'm just doing my job. If you pulled over when you saw my lights, which obviously you did.
I thought you were going somewhere else because I thought no one would ever pull a black SUV if you ran my plates.
I didn't run your plate. I just called your plate out. And then I'm following you because you're not stopping. So I had to take the air from dispatch.
Just please.
She had a bad day, Vinny. There were murders in the city. Hmm. She's more important than him. Why is he bothering her?
Hey, District Attorney Doerle, how about you find a fucking Kia? How about you find a fucking Hyundai?
No shit.
How about you fucking actually get somebody fucking convicted?
Yeah, how about those Kia boys who continue just stealing cars and robbing ATMs?
How about you solve a fucking problem instead of acting like an... Oh, man.
Vinny, I will tell you, my buddy who works at Wegmans and security over there,
yeah,
he bounces around to a lot of different stores. Mm-hmm. It is the same repeat offenders over and over and over again who go in there, steal thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, and then they're let go and they're right back in the another store in another town the next day. So great job, Sandra Doerle. Yeah. You're fucking killing it.
So how long before she resigns? Are we there yet?
Well, we're not there yet. So by clip number 7, this cop is now groveling. This is insane right here.
Man.
At the end of the day, I was just making a traffic stop, doing my job, what I was supposed to do.
Well, fine. Thank you.
Okay. So now, supervisor's on his way, and then we'll go from there.
Supervisor's coming out here.
Huh?
Who?
Sergeant Johnson. I understand you had it. Like, I get it. We all have bad days at work.
And I'm going to go in the house. Seriously, this is ridiculous.
No, this is a traffic stop. Everyone should know that if there's a legal traffic stop, which I have the right to detain you until this is done.
Then just write me the fucking ticket.
Wow.
I don't care.
Well, then just hang out at the back of the car.
Because I'm the one that's going to prosecute myself. You know what I'll do with the ticket?
Wow. Just blatant corruption going on. She's laughing about it. She's like
an evil villain. Thanks, Sandra. I mean, you just lost your job. Whether or not you resign or not, you're going to get voted out. You're done.
I know. I appreciate Sandra for exposing who she really is as just a corrupt asshole. Also, you notice how there's other officers there? So the neighbors are all coming out. They're all watching this. Like, what the fuck's going on over at Doerle's house? What is she up to over there? All right. So
look,
now
she brought her work home with her.
So now his boss shows up. You know, she'd called him. So now he's got to come. And she thinks that he's going to bail her out and reprimand this police officer. The problem is she forgets there's a thing that's on all the police officers now. It's called a camera and a microphone. So back in the day, this is what would have happened. Supervisor shows up, goes, you got a week suspension, buddy. You can't be pulling over the DA. But now it's being recorded and it's getting out in the public. So now they have to play it a little bit differently. And check this out. Look at this conversation with his boss. Like, neither of them want to call out what's really going on here. They're both very scared to be being filmed and recorded.
So I attempted a stopper on where? Phillips Road.
Yeah.
Going 55 and a 35.
Yeah.
Didn't see the plate. I was just keeping an eye on the vehicle because she wasn't stopping. Drove all the way here. Pulled into her garage, got out, was just being aggressive towards me for no reason. I was being respectful, telling her this is a legal traffic stop, come to the back of the vehicle. No. Then she called chief, then that's why I requested a supervisor.
Okay.
And now she wanted to go inside, told her no, you can't go inside, and this is where we're at. So
notice what he said there. I didn't see the plate. I didn't run the plate. That's total corruption right there. He's like, I know I shouldn't have pulled her over for speeding. I didn't realize. Yeah. I fucked up. That person's above the law. I messed up.
Now I want to see what the supervisor says.
Yeah, so check this out.
Because now the supervisor is the one who... This guy's like, oh shit, dude, I didn't mean to...
Yep, so check out the clip number 9, because I bumped the audio on this, because now he's whispering. This police officer's whispering at this point.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Like, I don't care just writing her the speeding ticket and being done with it, but technically it's an arrestable offense if she didn't stop.
Technically, it's an arrestable
offense. Of course
offense.
It is.
Of course. She should be in handcuffs. She should be detained. The fact that she didn't go back to the back of the car like he asked, handcuffs. All right, well, then you're coming in my cruiser. Handcuffs, let's go. Let's talk about this. That's how you would treat anyone else who's acting like this. And now he's whispering, I mean, I guess I can write her a ticket. Just so you know, I could arrest her for doing this. But this is clip number 10, more of this corruption unfolding.
She came home. She failed to stop. I mean, it's an arrestable offense. I'm not trying to arrest the DA of the county, but also I don't want to not do my job in not at least write her something.
It's coming right at us.
And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to.
I'll at least write her the freaking going 55 and a 20.
Get the fuck out of here.
At the end of the day,
here.
I got discretion whether or not.
No, I get it. I understand.
So.
None of these police officers want anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
Is that what you're going
to
do? Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen, I can't tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. It's your stop. If you want to do that, whatever. So this is my last clip, and then I have some further analysis and videos to watch. But this is him handing her the speeding ticket. And this fucking attitude that Sandra Dorley has, incredible.
Let me ask, does she roll it up and wipe her ass with it?
Might as well have. Might as well have.
All right.
All right, ma'am. So I'm issuing you speed in zone, 55 and a 35.
That's fine. I'll take care of it since I'll be prosecuting myself.
Okay. At the end of the day, if you see my lights and sirens behind you, and obviously they're going off, just pull over. We can have a conversation and be on our way. I kept my eye on your vehicle. I'm not going to check my computer to see what plate it is if a vehicle is not stopping for me. I want to keep my eyes on that vehicle for my safety, so I make it home at the end of the day. Okay?
I apologize, but I'm
sorry that you had a bad day,
yeah.
And I'm sorry it went this way, but...
What are you sorry
respect
for?
What you
Shut
do.
Up.
Have a good day, man.
Groveling. More groveling. He's like, I had to write you a ticket. I'm sorry. Just got to make this look a little bit credible. I know you're just going to throw it out anyway. So... Before I get to my conversation with my friend who's just left the RPD and knows Sandra Dorley very well for the last 25 years, I want to play... Remember my buddy Dr. Todd Grande, who does some amazing analysis, a psychologist who explains narcissistic personality disorder?
I believe you're slowly becoming a protege of his.
I believe so as well, because he breaks this video down, and I'm not going to play his whole video. You can look it up if you want to. But at the very end, he just kind of breaks down what he's seeing, the personality of Sandra here.
Even if the officer decided to write the ticket anyway, Sandra had any number of ways to make it disappear. As she pointed out, she was the one who prosecuted these offenses. The reason Sandra didn't pull over was because she wanted to make a scene. This was her chance to take a stand against this disgusting officer. After all, she was the DA. Sandra was going to make this officer pay for his brazen attempt to fairly apply the law. When Cameron gave Sandra orders, she refused to comply. There was no way she was going to give in. Her intent was to force Cameron to look weak and submissive, which is exactly what happened. She was daring him to act, but he would not act. Through her behavior, Sandra clearly communicated several beliefs, including she was above the law,
yep.
The police were a nuisance to her,
mm-hmm.
She had the right to speed, and she was better than some cop assigned to traffic duty. After all, she handled murder cases. The most important message that she communicated from her perspective was this. She was better than the police officer to such a degree, she could even demonstrate her superiority on his body camera. She wanted this episode to be memorialized to embarrass the officer, but ultimately, her plan backfired.
Yep.
The officer may have come across in the body camera video as frightened, passive, hypocritical, and ineffective, but Sandra appeared to be arrogant, grandiose, callous, dominant, vindictive, petty, condescending, fearless, incompetent, and irresponsible. In addition, she had a massive sense of entitlement. Now moving to my final thoughts. Sandra Dorley inadvertently exposed an unfair, informal policy of the police.
Yes.
This was like a sting operation, except unintentional. She did not mean to call out potential corruption, but that is what she ended up doing. Any investigation into her behavior would be incomplete without looking at the larger picture. Why was Sandra so confident in her belief that she would not be given a ticket? That is the question that an investigation needs to answer.
Brilliant. Well said, my friend. Because this goes beyond just her thinking that she's above the law and was put off that she had to waste 20 minutes of her time with this nonsense.
What I find interesting is that she works with this every single day, mm-hmm. looks at body cam footage every single day.
Yep.
How did she make the conscious choice, Dr. Grande? I know that you're saying that it was because she wanted to make a point.
Yep.
But did that, her wanting and having to make that point outright, all of the common sense in her fucking brain? And if so, is this person fit to have their job?
I'm glad you said that. Common sense is a great word to use here. She showed zero common sense. I don't think there's any way in hell. No, she's come out and apologized, obviously. Any way in hell she gets to keep her job. And they really do need to investigate corruption within all of law enforcement in Monroe County, because this just proves where things are at. Now, as I said, I reached out to my buddy who's known Sandra, RPD, Rochester Police Department, knows Sandra for the last 25 years. And he wrote, she is mental. This is not a one and done. This is how she acted for the past 25 plus years that I've known her. This video was not a shock to me or any of the guys that I work with. She treats her office staff in closed door meetings exactly the way she treated this cop. She's the highest turnover in her office than any other DA in the history of Monroe County. And she just got exposed. Sandra,
you're in the hall of shame.
You're about to lose your job,
man.
Sandra, wow.
Rob Wolchek, coming to a one-off in Rochester.
Yeah, I would love to see him react to this. But So yeah, that's been making the news. I mean, that happened right here in Monroe County, but I've seen it all over the place. My buddy Drew Lane was messaging me about it. It's obviously Dr. Todd Grande is commenting on it. This is a kind of a big deal.
Dude, this city's reputation is sinking faster than the corpses in the drinking water.
I don't know, what are we, Syracuse? What's going on over here?
Oh, God.
This is terrible.
Man. Speaking of which, wait till you hear this. McBride nailed it.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the city of Syracuse. We may be a rotting hellscape of a metropolis, but at least our DA drives the speed limit. See you in Syracuse.
Or maybe the police just run the plates before they turn on the sirens. I don't know.
Oh, man. So this is a message from one of our scum paraders, and he's a little concerned, and I want to help put his mind at ease.
No.
Hey, Carl, Vinny, I signed up for your scum parade Merry Marcher tier. Do you guys no longer give out T-shirts and mugs or something? Did I miss something? I might have. I don't know. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
I would love to answer that question. We absolutely do give you merch when you join up for our Patreon. On all three tiers, you get a little something. And if you were in our maximum tier, if you're a Scum Parade Merry Marcher, you end up with everything. Now, this has happened to some people, and the reasons have been for this. When you're a member for a few months, then they ship it out. So maybe right. If you just signed up, they don't ship it out.
It has to be 3 months, right?
I think it's 3 months.
Yeah, we don't talk about this enough, actually.
But then also, if you didn't put your address in, they don't auto-ship it. So keep an eye out for that. Make sure your address is in there. And if it's not any of those reasons, email Patreon and their customer service will help you out.
Very good.
Yeah. So want to make sure you're taken care of, my man. Sorry. I just saw that one.
I have a voicemail here.
All right.
Hey, this is for the Creep Off, Gerald Pell, DP. You, in this episode, asked for somebody to please ISO Vinny saying, I'm a big idiot. Please have more fun with it. Be more creative. The things that he has said on this show, necrophiliac, gay lover, cannibal, like all this shit. You should be, I'm a big gay lover. I'm a big cannibal. I'm a big necrophiliac. I mean, just clip all of it in there,
you know,
man.
You
have
just
fun.
Said, sir.
Just have a big old soundboard just for the things that he's a big fan of. Anyhow, love you, bye.
Hey, listen, instead of calling and telling me to do that, if you could do that for me, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Enough hours.
Did you
day.
See Carl's presentation today? Guys, don't expect the works for him.
Oh, stop it. I watched hours of footage on Bohemian Grove today. How dare you?
Okay. So some ideas for the live Consequence in Vegas.
Love the idea of doing a Consequence of the Vegas live show. Sounds like a lot of fun. Here are a few things you might be able to put on the wheel. Shave your eyebrows off.
No.
loser has to give 10 genuine compliments to the winner.
Oof.
Ugh.
I always love this one. Dinner with a listener. Just pick someone out from the crowd and have dinner with them.
That's fun.
Tomorrow, I guess. And finally, loser has to go to a roulette table and put $1,000 on black. If they win anything, they have to give it to the winner.
Oh, fuck! Okay. That last one's fun. I would make it $100.
I mean, not... I might do that.
Yeah,
that
that's
would be
fun. That's a fun one.
Okay.
And dinner with the listener, Nobu, and dinner is on the listener.
Perfect.
All right, perfect.
Let's do both of those things.
I have another voicemail for us.
Please.
Good suggestions, though.
Hey, this is for the creep off. You may remember me. I called in a while ago to tell you guys that you're ripping off Royce from Daywave Radio because you did a cop cam video, some big fat bitch in Wisconsin, and you... we're about 6 months behind them. So, you know, I told you guys that you suck. You're ripping off Royce.
Okay.
And today I'm calling you to say that you're sucking a little bit less now.
Thanks.
Because that latest cop cam with the kid and the huge bag of meth, ROTC did that about 3 months ago. So, you know, you're getting a little bit closer to them. Still ripping them off. Maybe if you keep this up in 5 years, you might report on the same time they do. All right. Get better. Bye.
Actually, I have to watch that today to see if they report on Senator Dorley. We might have beat him to the punch this time.
We may have got him on one, but can I say something about our friend Royce?
Of course.
He has agreed to join us this Friday.
Yes.
For another Scumstream in Paradise.
Yeah.
Featuring the epic battle, ladies and gentlemen, of Spencer Hurricane Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Truckosaurus.
Hulk Hogan versus a monster truck?
Monster Truckosaurus, yes.
Robotic monster truck?
Yes, he's going to fight it.
That's amazing. I am so excited. When I was talking to Royce, we were down in Largo, and I was talking to him about Thunder in Paradise. He got so giddy. He loves that show as much as we do. If you're not on our Patreon, you're not supporting us for the bonus episodes, you're missing out on Thunder in Paradise.
Hey, so listen, I need to send a shout out to somebody because the week after that, by the way, just another caller shout out for bonus content.
Okay.
Folks, I have a brand new jingle for what's going to happen. And it was sent in a while ago. I've been sitting on it. But this was sent in by Mr. Magenta. Here's what's coming up in 2 weeks on our bonus episodes.
We're hunting pedos. Gonna hunt some pedos tonight.
That's right, we're going back and watching some pedos getting busted. Caught the act.
Baby.
One of my favorite things in the world.
We're
I don't care if they're getting set up.
Pedos.
I don't give a shit. I just like watching them get busted.
Crank one out.
You're there's nothing funnier than watching him look like John being caught in a lie. It's the best.
Someone. Yes, I thought was 12 years old. Too late for running, cause it's time for the show. Hunting pedos.
Damn right. So make sure you're subscribed.
Not even a fan of blues, but that was good.
Dude, that's the old Big Show's music from WWE.
Oh, right. Okay, yep.
Pretty good. Pretty good, Mr. Magenta. We appreciate
it. Love it.
And speaking of Mr. Magenta, he called in to defend you.
Oh.
So you should even like him even more.
Hey, it's Mr. Magenta. Yo, this fucking competition this week was really close, but I realized that Carl has to win because the idea of the creep-off is who would you not want to sit next to on the bus?
Mm-hmm.
And Carl's creep fucking decapitated a guy who sat next to him on a bus for no goddamn reason. So he just has to win based on that principle. Also, I definitely voted with my penis for the Salts Girl pool, and I don't regret it at all. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Magenta.
Thank you for doing this.
I should have made that argument. God damn it. It was right there for me.
Oh. Just a little more thought and effort.
It was right there in front of me.
Just a little bit more.
Oh, stop it. You're starting a whole new narrative now. I'm not putting enough thought and effort into this. Is this what you're trying to say?
Am I starting narratives now? Is that what I'm doing?
Sounds like you're starting a whole nefarious narrative over there.
Don't buy into the narrative, Carl says. Thin-skinned Carl says.
People send Vinny the Scum Parade. Vinny listens to a couple voicemails.
Uh-huh.
And then he reads one article somewhere, and that's his prep for this show. And then he acts like he does all the work. Okay. All right.
You think, okay.
Okay.
All right, David Hunter.
Who's contacting friends and looking at Dr. Todd Grande? Pulling clips of our DA. Who's doing all the work over here? I had to watch an Alex Jones documentary from back when Alex Jones was a person. which is incredible, by the way. 24 years ago, he was a very different guy. You noticed that?
I did. It was very his public job, access TV.
His job has definitely deteriorated his capacity.
Yeah. It was nice to watch something that wasn't just interrupted with, you know, commercials for conjoidal silver or whatever the fuck that
shit is. I did cut those out. You're right.
Thanks. Carl, it's time for a scum parade.
All right.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Scum parade. Take me on a raid of these fuck charades that these creeps have made. Scum parade. Vinny and Carl gonna tell you about some fuck shit. Scum parade. Like stories of a kid fucked by his mom or dad. Soaking up the blood of a cat. Scum parade.
Now, Carl, my creep, is David Hunter. He's 70 years old, 74 years old. We're going over to England.
Okay.
He's been locked up again after breaching his sexual harm prevention order following an incident on a bus in October of 2023. Now, he's a sex offender with a fetish for orange balloons.
So, I have to say, when I saw that in the article, my first thought was, that's a tough fetish to deal with. Because I don't think there's a Pornhub category for that.
Not only that.
Like, if you're into big boobs,
with the balloon?
If you're into big boobs, you're into feet, you're into, like, whatever, there's thousands of videos to choose from. But orange balloons, that's a tough one.
Now, he's already served a number of jail sentences for orange balloon-related behavior. He had previously been banned for possessing orange balloons. It was jailed for 3.5 years in December of 2017. Police found hundreds of photos showing girls either holding or blowing up balloons after searching two properties linked to Hunter in Linkshire, Nottingham. Following the discovery, he'd been in contact with an underage girl he had previously covertly filmed on a bus. So, he's going around finding little girls and having them take pictures with orange balloons.
So, he's giving out balloons. It sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah, but they then found disturbing footage of Hunter appearing to simulate sex with an orange balloon in a shed, as well as evidence he'd been swimming with a 9-year-old girl in a public pool. What was she wearing? An orange balloon. Hunter was jailed for 40 months in 2015 after filming a girl on a bus, but didn't deter the sicko who contacted the same girl after being released.
So she probably has a lot of orange balloons then.
Hey, do you remember me, the balloon guy from the bus? Yeah, the dude who went to prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you. How have you been?
I'm back. You know, I always thought that having a favorite color was stupid, and it turns out I was right.
Yeah, you are right.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
It is stupid.
Color is a color. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't make a difference.
Boy, you make a lot of sense sometimes.
Sometimes.
I
make some good points.
Just cut right down to it. And I go, God damn it, he's right. He was first convicted of taking a decent or photos in 1994 and has been under a series of sexual events prevention orders since 2001 designed to control his behavior. So this is a guy who they're like, he has a really fucked up fetish. He's not necessarily, you know, at least he's not raping the kids. He's, you know, using children to harvest material so he could fucking crank it in his shed.
Yeah, it's
what
kind
can
of
we do to curb this?
It's a little unclear as to why he got 40 months in prison. That seems like a lot. But I hear that Trump's going to try to get him over to the U.S. because he'll definitely vote for Trump, right? With
Dude,
his fetish.
You should have seen this fucking guy when they flew that big baby Trump orange balloon
oh
over
my gosh.
Fucking London.
Lost his mind.
Dude, you would think it was a fountain. It was just... He was also jailed for 50 months in 2011, ordered to register as a sex offender for 10 years after he broke a court order banning him for possessing balloons in public.
That's insane.
Well, here's the deal. He's going around getting kids to fucking play with balloons in front of them so he can jerk off.
Sure.
So keep your fucking balloons at home is the rule for you. I don't know if I disagree with this type of logic. It's almost like what they call for special ed kids, those individual education programs where they're like, okay, you're a specific type of fucked up. You're not like dangerous, but you're a goddamn creep. We have to figure out a way to curb you. So you're not allowed to have balloons in public. Keep your orange balloons in your fucking shed.
Yeah, but as soon as you're told you're not allowed to, doesn't it make you want to do it more? you know, maybe a little reverse psychology would work on this guy better. Like, dude, you know what you should do is you start handing orange balloons to every kid you see. Just like, I gotta do that. Oh, not if you tell me to do that.
Or what if they just fucking freak him out and they give all the kids in his neighborhood orange balloons to carry
around? Yeah, they already have the orange balloons.
And that he's just like...
Or, okay, how about overloads. This? How about this for an idea? You actually, there's a therapy where you just show orange balloons popping right next to genitalia and just smashing into people's testicles. So it's like a Clockwork Orange. Hey, this actually works out perfect. It's a Clockwork Orange. You have his eyes taped open like this, and he just has to watch horrific things happening with orange balloons blowing up in people's anuses, people choking on orange balloons to death. He's not going to be in orange balloons anymore.
Okay, so the episode title is Clockwork Orange Balloon.
Yes, perfect.
Jesus Christ.
So, making a lot of
sense.
Are
you dropping acid on his eyeballs, too?
I'm making a lot of good points right now.
Are you going to drop fucking LSD in his eyeballs?
If we want to.
That'd be kind of cool, too.
That'd be fun. I mean, the CIA is not involved, so there probably won't be a lot of LSD being given to people unwillingly, but...
Yeah. The last time he got arrested.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I get it.
It's ridiculous. I understand. You're just trying to do your job.
Strap him down, Carl. I'm fine with it, to be honest with you.
I get it.
They caught him with a heart-shaped balloon, uh-huh. which is particularly heinous, so he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, heart-shaped balloons should be red or pink, not orange. Hey, Vinny, before we do the next story.
Let's hit some Super Chat, shall we?
Let's get caught up on Super Chats because there's some generous people that I want to acknowledge. I want to thank them for their generosity.
Sure.
Is that where we left off, Dino?
I believe so, yes. Boba's Auto Detail, $5. This guy from Chicago sounds like a guy I went to school with. He used to cut deer genitals off and leave them on people's windshields. Also from Chicago.
But that's a little bit more fun, though. I would categorize that as harmless fun, right?
That's a prank.
Yeah.
Cutting off a hooker's titty and leaving it on the side of the road
Not
to
a
die.
Prank.
Not a prank.
Correct.
Know the difference.
I'm glad that we're here to explain this.
I feel like everyone who's watching this should know that, but part of me, a nagging part of me, says we should clarify it.
Yes, we should, yes. Seamus McAnus, dang it, Vinny Winnie, is Carl even trying? How
Probably
dare
not.
You, Seamus McAnus?
Probably not even enough.
How
bit.
Dare you? Harpua, $5, says Carl is cheating. I can't say how, but this is cheating. Vote for Vinny.
Thank you.
It's because I brought a way more creepy gang. That's
no,
why.
You didn't.
Nimrob, 71, $5. Says, this sounds kind of familiar. Officer, you cannot give me a ticket. I was the announcer on The Tonight Show.
thanks, Nimrob.
Thank you very much.
Hulkamania gifted 10 WATP memberships. That's awesome.
Dude, Hulkamania, I see him on all these shows the last couple weeks, and it's fan-fucking-tastic. There's another 5 that came in from Hulkamania. Dude,
15 memberships.
This that's guy's so going to get his own... jingle.
Old jingle. You should have his own
this up.
Wing in your house soon.
Yay, Super Chats.
Dang Lizard, €2, says, Carl Zuma complaining about the narrative again. Yeah, that's the joke, sir. That's the joke. Oh, this I love this guy. Have you seen this guy's name?
A mandolin nappy.
Yep. A mandolin nappy. Please have Lisa's crime in the SP. Scum Parade.
I want to find out what it is. I don't know what it is yet. He said about Lisa Boswell.
Oh, yes, Lisa Boswell. There's so much to discover, but I can't
Carl,
wait.
I'm
going to
tell you 2 things I found out.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Okay, here's what I found out. I have a video. I don't know if anybody sent if Principal Uncertainty sent it to you, too. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he sent me stuff. I haven't seen it yet.
An open mic video of Lisa and Helga doing stand-up.
Shut up. Am I changing one of these podcasts into a show that's only about, what's that show called?
No,
again?
We're changing the creep off into that reality show's after show.
Okay, I'm down with that. These people are, if you don't know what we're talking about.
It's so good. I watched their episode this morning already.
Vinny and I reviewed a podcast on Who Are These Podcasts this past weekend. Go listen to it. If you support us on Patreon, you can watch the video. I'll have the video out soon for everyone else. But we found the craziest show on the internet. It's unbelievable. These people are nuts.
It's so... You cannot turn away. It is what the internet was built for.
It is, yes. Lisa Boswell might be a star.
Dude, you found out who these podcasts are by watching
right.
that show.
We finally accomplished our mission.
Dude, it's over with. We got to take the ship back home.
Yep.
Turn the Enterprise around. But The other interesting fact, they have a website, and clearly I visited it. And her bio,
yeah,
Lisa Boswell's bio, claims that she was the studio drummer on Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight.
Correct.
And that she was signed to Columbia Records as a prodigy drummer. The lady who's sitting there going, oh, I remember my child and evidence.
I haven't paid taxes in 25 years.
What I like is the smile. It's like a happy skeleton.
Day three of like the Trump trial started today.
Dude, you're not doing it right. You have to be happier. I can't describe it. It's that cadence, but with a big smile. She's the greatest.
There's no
thing
way
I've ever
she
seen.
Was a drummer for anybody. I have to look into this.
I need to find out,
I
too.
I need to know more.
Okay.
It's incredible, but thank you very much.
Hulkamania
Amanda
coming
Lynn
in.
Nappy.
Hulkamania coming
Dude,
in with another Hulkamania, five.
Hulkamania, another five. Thank you. Turn on Accept Gifted Memberships, and you can get access to these shows that we're talking about, because the full episodes of Who Are These Podcasts, unedited, are always left up for everyone to watch.
Yeah, good. Plug the WATP patrons.
Yay, Super Chats.
You don't have memberships on the Creep Off channel, right?
We don't. Because the second we do, YouTube's going to look at what we actually do.
Yeah, good point.
Tiger Lily, looking to do a deep dive into Helga and Lisa. There's a creep-off category in there. Damn you for bringing them into my life.
Dude, you're welcome.
You're
All
welcome.
I'll say to you, Tiger Lily, is you're welcome. Thank you to Principal Uncertainty for...
How about you're damn welcome?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Koof.
Koof, thank you for not going to Greenland.
Yeah, I explained to my wife what not going to Greenland meant the other day.
Yeah?
And she was like, oh, that's so much better because I used to say unalive yourself.
Yeah, I hate that. Everyone says that now because for some reason that's better than the S word. Whatever, it's stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
We have a lot of dumb rules in 2024 on this platform. Go figure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next story. Alabama.
I'm going to send you that video of the stand-up. In case you didn't get it yet. A woman in Alabama, Carl, has been arrested after police say she allegedly tried to run down pedestrians in her SUV.
See, I already have a problem with this, Vinny. Try not, do or do not. There is no try. If you have an SUV and you can't hit pedestrians, the fuck are we talking about?
Probably had it in two-wheel drive, too. Sorry.
I hit the sneeze button. Well done, sir.
On the afternoon of April 24th, officers responded to reports of a woman in a gray SUV allegedly attempting to run over pedestrians on Memphis Street in Dothan, Alabama. Police claimed the woman later identified as 66-year-old Robin Osborne Morse initially tried to hit people walking in the roadway. After missing her alleged targets, Morse reportedly stopped her vehicle and started yelling at the pedestrians. The pedestrians were able to get past Morse's SUV, and they told police the suspect again drove her vehicle toward them.
Yeah. She's really bad at this. She's getting multiple chances, and they're still getting away. Your car is faster than them. You should be able to hit them.
Well, she's a 66-year-old woman driving in Alabama.
That's a good point.
During the incident, Morse reportedly drove over a curb, crashed into a home, and then drove away from the scene.
See, this is not impressive. Hitting a house is not hard to do.
Yeah, Billy Joel does it all the fucking time.
Right, yes. Hitting a pedestrian. Who was that woman who used to date Anne Heche? Remember that video? Anne Heche went flying into that house and exploded.
Yeah.
And they brought her out in a body bag, and then she came out of the body bag alive. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It's fucking nuts.
How about fucking Caitlyn Jenner?
That was on PCL, right?
Well, she hit a person and killed them in the car.
Or PCH, I mean.
Well.
But anyway.
The cops get another report.
I just love the fact that she's like, well, pedestrians are hard to hit. I bet I can hit a house, though. Yep, that was a lot easier.
Recognizing the description of the vehicle, police immediately responded to a second call in which a call about another SUV had crashed, and Morse had fled the scene that time. A short time later, officers received a third report of the gray SUV involved in another crash. This time, they were able to take Morse into custody since her vehicle had been disabled by the final crash.
You know, I wonder if this is a hate crime. What color were these houses that she's hitting?
I haven't seen a lot of... Actually, you know what?
What were we going to say?
Rewind. Do that again. Set up again.
I wonder if this is a hate crime. They don't talk about what the colors of these houses.
Yellow.
It's Trump's fault.
Must be. Officers allege when they took her to the hospital, she got into a fight with the nurse and kicked her and two officers before being restrained.
Yeah, she's in a bad mood, guys. She's having a bad day. She's trying to kill people. They're
I'm
like,
just trying to get home. I've been prosecuting murders.
She's trying to hurt anyone that she sees. Why are you surprised she attacks the nurses?
So at the time of this article, they did not say what was in her toxicology report because it hadn't come back yet. But yeah. I think I'm leaning towards some alcohol or something else.
Alcohol is bad. You shouldn't drink alcohol.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
There is an epidemic in schools, Carl.
There is. We've been covering it on this very program.
I believe this is the fourth time that we have discussed this very thing happening.
Which I would think would happen zero times. Four is a lot more than I would have expected.
We were shocked back in the day when we were finding out hot teachers were banging students.
Right. That came to a shock to all of us. And then we got to the point where we're like, oh, this is happening all the time. Okay, get it.
And now with this, I'm starting to feel like it's along the same lines as this is just the thing that's happening.
It probably is. And you know what? I might be for it.
I mean, if ESPN gets involved.
Well, ESPN could potentially water it down and ruin it. I like it. And, you know, this is like the ECW. You know what I mean? It's more fun. It's
elementary elementary school championship.
Yeah, that's right.
What I think would be interesting here, Carl, is if we got some cameras in there and we got some brackets.
Well, let's talk about what happened.
All right.
People know
an Indianapolis elementary school teacher allegedly orchestrated a fight club style punishment between classmates, including a 7-year-old special needs student.
Dude, you got to watch out for retard strength. That's a real thing.
Dude,
I would not want to be matched up against that kid.
Dude, if I was watching that, I'd put more money on that kid.
Yes.
I absolutely would. And then I would tell him that he said something mean about his mom or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You could really wind him up. You can wind those things up good.
See that kid over there? He was going to take your pudding later.
Yep.
The child's mother filed a lawsuit in Marion County against George Washington Carver
School. This is what I would do to wind up a retard. I'd be like, hey, that guy over there says you're not very good at guitar. Go get him. He thinks your bends are sharp. Go get him. I know how to wind up a tard. I know what I'm doing.
I see what you're up to. The teacher's name is Julius Jonakin.
Okay.
Sounds made up. Allegedly that the teacher condoned other students to duke it out in the classroom on multiple occasions. Now, she claimed Jonakin mistakenly revealed footage on his phone of her son being attacked during a parent-teacher conference on November 1st.
Whoopsie.
So this parent
shows
up.
You gotta have those things in folders, people. You can't just have all the videos in the same place.
And they're going, the substitute teacher is making the children fight each other. Right? And they're sitting there and he goes, and they said that you filmed it. Show us your phone. He's like, no, I don't have anything like that on there. And then opens his phone and, oh my gosh, there's video of a child punching another child in the face multiple times going, get in there, son, get in there.
But my question is this, though, Vinny. Were the children better behaved afterwards? Because sometimes the ends justifies the means. I would imagine this is a pretty well-behaved class if they know that they're going to get the lights knocked out of them for misbehaving.
So let me just clarify what happened in this thing.
Okay.
He was trying to show them a video demonstrating the safety of his classroom environments
mm-hmm.
after this was raised. And then he accidentally began playing the audio of the attacks.
Yep.
It was the audio. And they heard, don't mess with me. And then they hear the teacher's voice going, that's right. You get him. And then another kid saying, I'm going to get him again. And then Jonakin still filming replied, I know you want to get him when he does things. And they were just like, can we see your phone?
Yeah.
Just hand us your phone, Jonakin. He's a substitute teacher. The district itself have been named in the lawsuit. Other teachers, other administrators. The woman claimed they failed to keep her son safe and administrators ignored his allegations.
Is this video out there somewhere?
I watched it, but I'm not going to play it on this channel.
Okay.
It'll get us fucking hit. It's not great.
Mentally handicapped 7-year-olds getting punched is not something that is okay on the YouTube guidelines.
I could talk about chopping titties all day, but sure. You're not allowed to show pictures of children punching each other in the face.
Did you enjoy the video when you watched it?
Came everywhere.
Had to change my pants.
Dude, I'm surprised we were able to mop it all up before you got here. So this is a very public lawsuit. Maybe one day we'll find out what happens, but Jonakin is fired.
But this is like the fourth time we found out about fight clubs going on in schools. And I guess the thing that I find surprising about it is all these little monsters that you're trying to discipline in your class and teach them some hard lessons of the real world, which I think is noble and honorable. They all are walking around with video recording devices in their pocket. This is not the time to get away with this type of shit.
It's wild. The cops have cameras. The criminals have cameras. The kids have cameras. Everybody has a fucking camera.
I'm being filmed right now, Vinny.
Wait a second. I think I am too.
Everyone's on camera all the fucking time.
Gotta get out of here.
Look at even Danny has a camera. Check that out.
Danny Cam. Hi, Danny.
Hey, look at that. Hey, Daddy.
What are your thoughts on a teacher getting the kids to beat up the other students if they're misbehaving? Good idea or bad idea?
Well, terrible. Awful. All right. I have kids, so it's like, oh my God, around the same age too. So it's like, what the fuck, dude?
So you don't want them fighting at school?
I'd rather them not.
God. What if school gets them better at fighting and like they actually teach them something? It gets
true,
them good.
That's a good point.
And then you end up with like a UFC champion kid. You end up with Brock Lesnar.
Or Brendan Schaub.
Maybe not so bad, I guess.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts. All right. We're not going to convince her otherwise.
It turns out, everybody, Danny's four fight clubs at school. Very good. Thanks, Danny. All right. Last story, folks. This guy, he's a gem. A former MLB player, Dustin Moore. Carl?
I'm pretty big fan of MLB. I don't remember this person.
Well, he's a 47-year-old who played for the Minnesota Twins, the San Francisco Giants, the Colorado Rockies, the Boston Red Sox, and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays during his career.
Ah, journeyman.
He is a journeyman. He has been accused of sexually fondling a 13-year-old girl.
What was she wearing?
Probably softball gear, because he was her softball coach.
Oh. So not like a miniskirt or something like that, then. Nope. Not a lot of miniskirts in softball. It's hard to slide into second.
I'm assuming a cup. She was probably wearing a cup. A girl cup.
I don't think they make girl cups, Vinny.
Sure they do. They're like the inside out guy ones.
He probably was her girl cup. So that's what it sounds like.
According to the local news outlet, Moore was left in tears in court and apologized to the victims and her family. He was arrested in August of 2023. Basically, he was sentenced to 5 years for each of three felonies: child solicitation for sexual intercourse, child seduction, which, yes, is a crime. You can't get them all horned up. And sexual misconduct.
Thanks for reminding us, Vinny.
You're welcome.
We forget sometimes what you're allowed to do
with
children.
I just feel like sometimes I have to clarify things.
Even if you're not going to do anything, you can't get them all worked up. That's against the law.
He's going to get 3 years in prison for each account. Now, the court documents show Moore was hired by the victim's family to give their daughter softball lessons.
Ruh-roh.
At Strike Zone Training Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana. However, he began to turn her against her family and severely damaged her confidence. Not a good coach. After 6 months of training, the victim's father found his daughter at Moore's home after she had run away. She told investigators across multiple interviews that Moore touched her in a sexual manner during their softball sessions.
And that he was good at it.
And that he shared private digital images with each other. Moore was also said to have touched her in a sexual manner where they were in his vehicle and gave her a new phone so they could be in contact.
Dude, bitches always be getting awesome gifts from guys.
I think he might be the victim. She's taking advantage of their
relationship.
Coach-player relationship. Get me a cell phone.
Get a cell phone, free ride, staying at his house for free, rent-free.
You're not getting a phone without hustling. You got to hustle the first.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
Yeah, here. I got a great batting practice that you could do. It's called an HJ. It's good. You got to choke up on it. So the victim's father also revealed in court that Moore managed to shut down the parental controls on her phone.
Nice. Good move.
Pretty smart. He said he was able to track her down and rescue her from rape just before her 14th birthday. So it sounds like this kid ran away and this guy was just like going to let her live in the rest of her days at his house.
Sounds like she was ready to go all the way, finally.
Wow. I mean, the dad should be a little upset. Moore spread lies about him to his daughter and told her he was an awful person that was mentally and emotionally abusive.
And he might be. Honestly, we don't know. But
yeah. And his daughter's going to put out.
Yeah.
I heard that. Moore was drafted by the Cleveland Indians in 97 and played for 7 years for all those teams.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't very good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, getting to the big show is a big deal. But
Alex did send me that story, and he sent me a link to eBay where I could get an autographed Dustin Moore card for like $3.
Oh, might be worth it.
I might put it next to my Lenny Dykstra autograph card that
Dude,
I keep here.
Can I ask a dumb question? I realize this is really dumb.
Sure.
What kind of waste of time is it to put a $3 baseball card on eBay? How is that possibly a good use of anyone's time?
You know what? Maybe I'll save the $3 and I'll just...
I'm just saying it's the seller. I don't know. Whatever.
It's got to be a volume game at that point, right?
I suppose, but you got to set up all those pages.
Do you think the price is going to drop or go up now?
It'll go up. Because no one even knew who this guy was.
Oh, the child rapist? I got his rookie card right here.
Yeah, I was going to say the softball team knows who he is, but
wow,
no baseball fans.
Wow. Well, Carl, what have we done today?
I think we did some horrible things.
Yep.
But we also shined a light on some horrible things that people need to know about.
We did. We actually did a public service today, so.
Yes, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I think we got a couple more super chats. I saw Dang Lizard was busy in there.
Oh, boy.
Obvious answer was orange because of her uncle's balloons. Okay. Dang Wizard 5 years says, Mr. M is a weird sub. He gets us to fight under these weird names like Doozpayer, Moonhead, Lady Kmart, and the goat always wins. That's fun. That's fun, bringing the characters of the
Gavinverse. Yeah, that's a high school English school class, right?
I like that.
Oh, man.
Another one just came in, it looks like.
Let's see.
Oh, nice. Hey. $10 from a mandolin nappy. Sorry, meant to give more earlier. Thanks for the entertainment. Thank you, Amanda. Win. That is a creepy photo.
Who is I don't know. That I kind of like it. Thanks for the $9.99.
He looks like he ate that orange balloon.
That's really unsettling.
Yeah,
now that I know the context of the orange balloon.
Not great.
Well, folks, some advice. Don't film yourself jerking off in a shed. It could come back to bite you in the ass in a court of law.
Masturbate.
It's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice.
Go to thecreepoff.com and don't forget to vote. Good gear.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck?
Carl, you're not charismatic.
No one told me there was going to be boasting.
Bye, everybody.